to the show. Thank you. So happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
And so for everyone, we are going to be actually, the topic is on a father's journey. So before we begin, I want to know how your Father's Day was.
My Father's Day was calm and relaxing. I think, my wife and my daughter made it special and just keeping it nice and cool.
Yeah.
Over this warm, extremely warm weekend.
I think there's like a heat advisory going on until 8 p.m. tomorrow. Oh, mm-hmm. So it's extremely hot. But you know what? We have to make the best of it. Stay indoors. Stay cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's so sweet. That's amazing. So why don't we start off with your story so then we can let the listeners know, you know, why you're here and what your story is.
Yes. Yeah, so my story goes back to October, really, where my wife had been pregnant for some time now. And our due date for our daughter was March 23rd, right? 3/23/23. And so around October time, my wife had been spotting. And it's, you know, and that's typical.
Yeah.
You know, and that can come in so many, you know, different amounts, right? And so, you know, my wife went in for a checkup.
Yeah.
The doctor basically said, hey, well, you know, you just possibly have a thin cervix.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we just kind of went along with it. And that spotting just got heavier and heavier to the point where, you know, she was just changing multiple pads throughout the day. And so by the time it was that Thanksgiving week,
yeah.
She just felt something was off, and so she had gone in and they said, the heartbeat looks great. It's just there's barely any liquid around our daughter, baby Mila. And so they admitted her into the hospital and they said, hey, look, you're basically not going to leave unless, you know, you give birth or, you know, because this is a very dangerous situation, right?
And this is in November.
And this is in November.
Okay.
Mind you, the due date was March 23rd.
Wow.
So that was quite some time. So the goal, the objective was really to stay pregnant as long as possible.
Of course.
And so, you know, it's easier said than done, right? When you're just, your mind is thinking of so many different things.
Absolutely.
And everyone's telling you so many different things. So, you know, we were lucky enough to stay pregnant, until December 4th, which brought us up to the 24 week mark.
Okay.
So our daughter Mila was born at 24 weeks at basically 6 months, 1 pound, 3 ounces.
Wow. I can't even, I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And mind you, this is our second child, right? So we had a beautiful, healthy girl named Celine, our daughter, our first daughter, prior to Mila. And that was a normal pregnancy. You know, if anything, she was born a couple days early. And so usually with pregnancies, it's a copy and paste. That's what they said, right? If your first one, if you have issues, then they're going to assume the second one, you're going to have issues. But if the first one is great,
yeah,
you're going to assume that the second one's going to be great.
Yeah, exactly.
And so no one had ever thought that this would ever happen. None of us. And so when it did, it was just scary.
Yeah.
And we just learned to kind of come together through this entire process.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, having a baby itself is such a joyous occasion or a joyous moment in your life. And to have to go through it the first time around, amazingly, and then the second time around through these challenges. How do you think that has changed you going through those challenges?
Yeah, I think it's taught me to truly be patient. And, you know, I think as a parent, the worst thing you can imagine is, is your child being sick. You know, it's always one thing being your parents. I have an older father, right? My father is 81. I'm 31,
wow.
Right? So he was an OBGYN. He started his life a lot later.
Yeah.
So in the back of my head as a child, I was always told, well, take care of your father. Take care of your father because you're not going to always have him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in the back of your head, you're always thinking, well, you know, one day I'm going to have to take care of my parents. But it's just different when you have a child who's, who, you know, is supposed to be born at this point in time. And then is just born a lot earlier. And so it taught me to truly be patient because you're seeing her with all these wires and with all these machines and, And you just want to blink and it all be gone. And you just want to jump to where she's not in pain or yeah. she's not, what we assume is like suffering, right?
Yeah.
And so, it's taught me to really trust the process.
Yeah.
Trust the doctors who are with her.
Yeah.
Trust each other, you know, your spouse and yourself, because you're going to have doubts about things. You're going to question a lot of things.
Yeah.
But then when you truly look inside of, and, you know, I'm a man of faith and I'm a Muslim. And in Islam, God truly doesn't give you anything that you can't handle. And I truly believe that this was given to me for a reason, and it's to teach myself, my wife, whomever is involved, a lesson about life.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. And no matter how tough, you know, the battle is while you're in it, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
No matter what, no matter if it's good or bad, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. There's always a lesson to be learned.
Absolutely.
And so I just learned to just take it literally one day at a time, literally baby steps, right? Yeah. In this situation.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we are now.
Yeah. I think for me, watching you go through that process, you know, the reason I wanted him to share his story or in, like the doctors say, Mila's story, she's there to write her own story.
Yeah.
It's because I think in our cultures, we are not equipped to deal with these kinds of circumstances. And oftentimes we judge each other harshly. Therefore, the parents who are going through the pain feel alienated by faith, by family.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of showing up and support, you know, I know Rayan, his wife's grandparents moved in to bring that extra layer of support, because there were times where, you know, he's like, I have to go to my work. You know, that's how we get health insurance. And, you know, thank God we have a very compassionate work environment when it's like his other family.
Yeah.
After soccer, of course. He's got his Sunday soccer family,
yeah.
his real family, and then the encore family.
Many families. Many families.
Now you have a Chai Time family.
Now I have a Chai Time. Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, you guys are definitely family. So
for
having
sure.
to navigate all of that and then show up as a father, as a partner, as a recruiter, you know, it's not like you can be sad and mopey trying to help people land their next job. I mean, you have to have some level of enthusiasm, right?
Absolutely.
And having to do that on those days where you thought she was maybe not going to make it, you know, when you questioned just everything about it. And to me, when you say patience, I'm like, oh, that's a lot more than patience. You talk about being tested as a human being.
Yeah.
And then, you know, coming out on the other side. And that's why I love you guys, because you create this platform to share stories. Because I happen to have another client in a different state who is having a very scary time, and it's their first baby. And when, you know, she called, I helped this couple, like, get to where, like, I did their premarital counseling classes, and so I was part of their love story.
Yeah.
And now with their first baby, I'm like, you know, I can't tell my clients what the other one goes through, but I'm like, I just promise you, you're not alone.
Yeah.
And there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
And there are people. We talked about this with NAMI too, you know, like when we share stories and when we give each other resources and compassion, we heal.
That's true.
I mean, that's its own process,
yeah.
right? And for you to come here and as a guy, as a Muslim, as a young father, because we always say, oh, babies have complications when you have them later in life. Or, you know, it was none of that. They had a perfectly healthy child first, and then this happened. So that's a true testament to you, to how your parents brought you up, and You know, I just feel so honored to be like.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing because you said you have faith. And a lot of people, when they're in that situation, they tend to lose the faith. Yeah. That why? Mm-hmm. Like, they start questioning God. And you kept going and you kept praising him and said, no, you know what? I have faith in you and I know you'll do what's best for me.
Yes.
And like you said, he gives you those challenges because he knows you can handle them.
Yes.
That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This too is, emotional.
Well, not only that, though, but, you know, as a father, you have to hold your partner up. You know, yeah. You can put your ego aside and say, you know, I'm going to go and find out how to help myself so that I can be there for my family.
Exactly.
Whereas we all know sometimes men use that as an excuse to just leave. And so when you lean into God, lean into your purpose, lean into your community, and just look at all the ways that you can show up for your wife. Like, what is that quote that says, you know, if you want to show love to a child, love their mother.
Yeah.
You know, so I think you truly played that whole statement out in this process. And I know your journey's not over, but I think, you know, we all need to be looking at what is going right in the world.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes we're just pulled in the darkness and the ambiguity and the helplessness.
Yeah.
But it's really important to highlight when there are these challenges.
Yeah.
And we step into them bravely.
Yeah.
And we get to the resources that we need.
Yeah.
And we build a sense of community.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And the other challenges that you go through are so minuscule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't really matter.
Yeah.
You know? Life is what's important. And, so what does it mean to you to be an effective father? Lessons from your dad and real life experiences.
I'll tell you, my father and my mother, you know, growing up, you know, in a Muslim household and in an Arabic household, you know, they were both people of faith. And so, you know, we, you know, when we came to the States, you know, I came to the States when I was, 3-4 years old. You know, I lived in Maryland, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up in Burtonsville, Maryland. And so we didn't have everything, you know, like my parents, when we came to the States, my dad had to start all over being an OBGYN overseas.
Yeah.
He couldn't be an OBGYN here in the States. So when we were growing up, we just, you know, I think we understood life at an early age that you had to work, you had to provide for your family, you had to trust in your faith and know that good things will come in time, right? Not everything is going to happen. You can plan for things to happen. You know, for example, you know, we planned for our daughter to be born in May, in March, right? And things didn't work out that way.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to plan things in life and that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. Because you can plan for everything.
Yeah.
It's just things will change and that's life.
Be prepared for that as well.
And being prepared, right? And sometimes you're not always prepared and that's okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No one is perfect.
True.
You know, not everyone has all the money in the world to solve every single problem, but, you know, just when things are tough, just know that you're not alone, you know, trust in your faith, right? No matter, you know, what religion you are, trust in your faith and have that inner patience that comes with life's responsibilities and trials, right? That you just, you know, it's tough in the moment, but once you get out of it, you're going to be able to help someone else.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to learn from that. That might be a doorway to something else. You know, you just never know.
Yeah.
And so my parents definitely instilled that, instilled religion in me and faith and just, being patient and truly having that understanding of what that is and just being resilient through life, you know? And so, yeah, it helped me. It shaped me into the father I am today, right? With
you have some amazing parents.
I know. But sometimes that, you know, in traditional upbringing, I think one of the ways you were tested, at least from my perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
is the asking for help. Like, you know, we live in the U.S. where literally this is a miracle baby. Mila is a miracle baby.
For sure.
And the cost attached. And you can be, you know, anything in the world and you can, you still will be compromised, you know, in terms of being able to pay your medical bills. And so I remember when your soccer group created the GoFundMe and it like offended your community and your family.
It was, yeah.
It's like, okay, this guy is, this is like the time that you absolutely need to put your pride aside and like go and fight for your family and, you know, get your baby everything they need because, you know, a lot of our conversation has been about the realities of, you know, they have a very great partnership. His wife and him both work. She's a teacher. And but, you know, like now you guys have all these medical complications. So, like, how do we how did Mila go to daycare? Like, does one person have to not work just to be able to, like, take care of her, right?
Oh, yeah.
How do we deal with these oxygen, you know, all these? He knows so much about all the things that come.
And Mata's becoming an expert.
Yeah. As much expert as, you know, my memory allows me these days. But I do remember stories well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but she's right. I think, so it's funny, 2 years ago, a couple of guys started a Sunday soccer pickup, right? It's called Katie Sunday Morning Soccer Pickup. And that's out in Katie. And it was two guys, Jimmy and Andrew. And so they, you know, we started this pickup soccer for anyone. Anyone can come and play. And so, you know, we all became a family very quickly. And, you know, we just grew and more people started coming. And so when I was going through, this journey, you know, they looked at our situation, and all the guys, Jimmy, Andrew, Omar, Hector, you know, they all came together and said, hey, look, let's create a GoFundMe page for him. Yeah. You know, let's raise money. I mean, this is what happens in the States.
Yeah.
Right. In the U.S., everyone creates GoFundMes and they help and it helps. It genuinely helps.
Yeah.
And so, and mind you, my wife and I had a savings account, you know, we were prepared as much as we can be prepared, but you know, at the end of the day, things get drained, savings accounts get drained, especially in this situation. And so, you know, they created the GoFundMe and I was just in the middle of so much at that point, but they came up to me and said, hey, Mo, you're going to have to post the GoFundMe on your Facebook, on your social media. And then I didn't think anything of it. I was like, yeah, these guys are trying to help me.
Yes.
I'm going to have to post it, share it. So I did. And then I think within like 30 minutes, I'm getting phone calls. And this is from overseas. You know, my cousins are calling me. What's going on? You know, and they're like, are you asking people for money? And you know, and that's not something obviously we do culturally.
Yeah,
and
we don't. Right.
And I had to explain to them, first off, I wasn't even the one who created it.
Yeah.
But no, my friends set this up for me and
in support. Yeah.
You know, and so I had to just, it was just a learning, process for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to explain to them in the U.S., this is how things are done.
Yeah.
You know, back home, they go to the doctor. They're not coming out with a gigantic medical bill.
Yeah.
You know, things are just taken care of. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, I had one cousin who said, well, if you need to just go work another job. And work two jobs. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. That's not how it works.
What's the number right now with the?
Oh, it was way over. The hospital bill was in it was just rolling. It was over $1 million because we've been there for so long. Right. And even when I called to get, you know, exact numbers, they're like, well, things are still being processed, you know? So I've never in my life seen bills like this, you know? And again, all of this is, you know, to help her and
of course
to just make it through. So in the back of my mind, I wasn't even thinking about the bills.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I was paying the most important things, our mortgage, and our car, you know, and so I was just focused on making sure, you know, the most, you know, electricity and gas and all that stuff, obviously. But everything else, I was just not paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever Mila needed, that's what we had to give her at that time. And that's what we needed to do. And then with our 4-year-old, we had to keep her occupied. Yeah. So she was going to the Montessori and we had to keep that going because there was no one there for her, you know? And so between the hospital, between work, I would come and see Celine, my 4-year-old, maybe for an hour and a half a day. And it was just heartbreaking because I love my 4-year-old. And she's my little princess. And I honestly, I love playing with her as much as I can. And seeing her smile, she's always smiling. Right. And it was just heartbreaking at that point because I couldn't spend time with her, but we had to keep her on a normal schedule. You know, bedtime was still the same. School,
she doesn't go through any changes.
Like, exactly.
It's a normal life.
It's a normal life, you know? And so even to the point when we had to, when we introduced her to Mila, because at one point the NICU had, you know, no visitors. I mean, besides, you know, you can have one or two, but no children, no matter the age. And I think actually until you're 15 or something, or 15 or 13, you can go and visit your sibling. And it had to only be siblings, like no cousins.
Wow.
And so at one point, and this is weeks prior to Mila getting out, they said, hey, look, we've lifted the COVID restrictions. Celine can come visit. And they called us that same day.
Yeah.
And so it was actually during Eid that day. And so we just, you know, we made a U-turn. We were going to go eat lunch. And we just made a U-turn and we went straight to the hospital. And then Celine got a chance to meet Mila. And it was, you know, even I teared up at that point because I thought it was just the most genuine, you know. And she it's funny, a 4-year-old knew how to deal with a baby. You know, she's never had a sibling before, but she knew to handle her with care. And just the way she spoke to her, you know, was just so beautiful. So yeah, it's, you know, even though this journey is hard, really, really, truly hard. There are tons of beautiful moments in it. Yeah. Right. And you take that and you just, it keeps you moving.
Absolutely.
You know?
Oh, your ears tearing up there.
I don't know how I made it in this profession. I think I cry more than most people.
But you give good advice.
Yes, in between.
In between.
In between the tears. So what were some personal barriers you had to overcome to be a strong family? Be strong for your family, actually.
Yeah, I don't know if this comes with just being a guy, but temper. You know, I think everyone has their limitations, right? And I am happy and I always stay positive. But I had to learn to control my frustrations. You know, I had to learn to control, you know, because there are times where, you know, we're speaking to so many doctors. And then my wife and I would just, temper wise, we would just have at it each other. You know, and it's natural, right? And it's real. Not every single moment is going to be a good moment. And you're going to get in arguments and you're going to just absolutely take it out on each other. And it's not fair to either one of us, right? I had to learn to just come to an understanding that the way I think is different than the way my wife thinks. And it's truly different. You know, I think as a woman, she carried Mila, and she had just a different connection with her than I could possibly have. You know, even though I'm her father and I love her just as much, it is different. And I had to come to an understanding that, you know, her connection is different as a mother. And that's just how it is. And so there were points where I would just get so frustrated with her. Because, you know, for me, I came to an understanding and I said, hey, look, this is where we are. This is the deck that we were given, right? We can't pick our cards. I cried for 2.5, the first 2.5 weeks after Mila was born, I cried. Honestly, I was in my car driving to work. I would cry on the way back. I would cry when I was at work. There were times where I just get off of my desk, get up out of my office, my desk, and just go cry, you know, because it was hard. And so after that, I just came to an understanding with myself and said, hey, look, this is what God gave me. This is what I have to do to be strong for my family. And that's just take it day by day. And so when my wife didn't have that connection yet, it just, you know, I would just get frustrated with her.
Yeah. I'm going to have you hold that thought real quick. We're going to go on break. You're listening to 99.5 FM. Your Chai Time Girls will be right back. Welcome back, Houston, to Chai Time. For those of you that have just tuned in, we are in conversation with Muhammad and Mehtab, and we are talking about a father's journey. So when we went on break, you were talking about the lessons you've learned, and you were going to tell us about the community. It was a meal. What was it called?
The meal trains.
Meal trains, mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about what that is?
Sure. So I had a really good friend of mine who is part of our soccer group. His name is Gabe. He created this meal train for us that I never knew existed, right? And so what a meal train basically is there's a portal. And basically you as the recipient of the meal train will kind of select your preferences. For example, if you only eat halal, you select only halal, or if you only eat veggies, you know, you're a vegetarian, you only select this, or seafood. So you pick and choose the foods that you're able to eat. And so what happens after that is basically your friends, your community, you know, whomever is trying to really deliver you food, right? And because during that time we weren't really thinking about dinners. We were just really eating at the hospital for the majority of the day. And so, you know, you would have your community and your friends and so on and so forth, just select a day and a time on a calendar that you have access to, and you'll see who's bringing you what food on what day. And that's just really awesome. You know, it helped us out a lot.
I bet. That's amazing. Wow.
And it saves you so much time and all, you know, we didn't have to worry about, hey, well, what are we going to cook for our 4-year-old?
Exactly. With the little one at home, that's the tough part, right?
Yeah. So, it helped out a lot, and now I want to do it for everything. You don't have to just do it for, you know, you can do it when someone gets sick, or if, you know, if someone's on, you know, coming back from a very long vacation, or whatever the occasion, you know, and you want to help someone, you can create a meal train and people can take part, which is pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. So what role has your community played in your journey besides the meal train? Is there any other?
I think our community, our neighborhood, as well, our neighbors. I live in Ventana Lakes in Katy, our neighbors have been absolutely supportive, in everything. I mean, they've asked to, you know, if we need, you know, a date night for my wife and I, hey, we'll be there to watch your daughter, Celine. If you need, you know, anything, we'll be there. You know, you just ask, right? You just ask and we'll be there. And I thought that was absolutely amazing. And again, with the soccer group, you know, and back to that GoFundMe, you know, when we posted it on social media, that opened a gateway to my wife to actually meeting, one of my old, college friends. Her name is Miriam, out in Maryland, and her son actually dealt with she has a very similar story, right? Where her son was born at 25 weeks. So a week, ahead of Mila. And so she shared a very similar story. And I thought that was, amazing to hear her side of the story, right? Every single person has a different story.
Yeah.
You know, don't go Googling things, obviously. but every single one has a different story. And that helped to connect my wife, and Miriam together to, you know, hear her out and listen to her journey. And it kind of helped navigate my wife through, our medical journey.
Healing as well, right?
It does.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, you know, we would never have known unless we shared that page. Yeah. Right. So, there are a lot of people dealing with this, you know, just when we were leaving, I remember when we were leaving the hospital at one point when Mila was well enough to go home, you know, there were, twins that were born extremely early too, same weeks, you know, as Mila. And it shows that, again, you know, life is life, right? When Mila was born at 24 weeks, we could only have wished that we got to the point that we we're in, right? And so now there's another a group of, you know, families who are dealing with the same thing. So it's good that our story was out there, so people can know that they're not alone.
Yeah.
Right. So helps. Yeah.
Power of community.
Definitely the power of community.
Yeah.
But not many people feel comfortable sharing something like that.
Yeah. I feel like especially in the South Asian community.
Yeah.
It's just like, can't talk about it, hide your feelings, hide all your issues, and just put them in the box.
Oh, yeah. It's yeah.
Deal with it on your own.
Exactly. Which is kind of sad, right? I'll tell you, my wife's cousin, you know, during this whole thing, her name is Iman. She,
that's my daughter's name.
Oh, really? Iman? Yes. Nice. She
it's
was.
Hope, right? It means hope. Faith. Iman. Faith. Iman, yeah.
Yeah, faith. Amen. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, when the day she went into the, and she grew up in Maryland too, actually. Yeah. And so, you know, I think we're all very Americanized. So we're not afraid to ask for help, you know, and that's the thing. I think there's fear, right? And people are going to, you're going to think people are judging you, or people are thinking, oh man, I can't believe this guy can't handle his family.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. But it's the opposite.
It is.
It's the opposite. So.
That's true strength. Vulnerability is true strength. Yeah.
But her cousin was there every step of the way. And she was, I mean, I couldn't, you know, I couldn't be more thankful. You know, she was there in the hospital. She came every day and she didn't care what we needed in terms of help.
Yeah.
You know, she was okay with us asking and us needing her at that point in time. With, mind you, she also had two kids, right?
Yeah.
So.
You need your village around you.
You do. Mm-hmm. You do. Family, community, neighbors. You know, at the end of the day, we're all just one major family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this for me has been such a, like, your journey has been so, like, nice to hear because not, I mean, not the sound, of course, but just because, like, you know, because of all that's been going on in the world, there's just so much hatred amongst people and just things. And, like, then you hear something that there's a whole community that you guys have had and people around you surrounded you with love and, you know, just being there for you. That feels so good to hear because there are good people in this world and we need to, like, shine on them more than the negative thoughts that we tend to see and hold on to.
Yes, very true.
Yeah. So how have you managed to become a lead recruiter while managing life challenges?
I'll tell you, that was definitely a tough battle. But so, yeah, I'm a recruiter here at Encore Search Partners, a number one privately held recruiting firm here. And I'll tell you, it started with leadership, honestly, right? Because I had been employed for 3 weeks, right? I left a 9-year career. I was with Wells Fargo Advisors and Wells Fargo Bank for almost 9 years. And I left, I joined Encore. And then, you know, it was a great 3 weeks and then everything, you know, my life just completely changed. And so our CEO, Jeremy Jensen and our president, Scott Kelly were just extremely, extremely present through the entire, I mean, what organization can you say, hey, look, my CEO and my president were present through this entire process? Nothing. You know, you can't. Yeah.
That's
you know,
amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, they could have just let me go. Well, this guy's, he's been gone for almost a month. He's not producing. We can just cut him. Yeah. Right. Wow. But they didn't. They said, whatever you need, we're going to be there.
Wow. Now that's a good company.
That is I'll tell you, this is the best organization I've ever been a part of. And they, you know, and even now, you know, I was just able to focus on my work. So when I would go into the office, mind you, with everything that I had going on in my head, with my daughter being in the hospital, and even now, my, you know, Mila, she was able to get out of the hospital, and now she's back into the hospital. She had some breathing complications. You know, they were just extremely supportive, and they said, "Hey, look, if you need to work from home, if you need to take time off, do what you need to do, right?" But I, you know, it's easy to just say, "Hey, look, I'm not going to go into work." It's easy to say, hey, I'm going through a tough thing. I can't be there. Right. But I think you have to take life and make it your own. And I went in every single day and I said, hey, look, when I go into the office, I know I'm dealing with a lot of personal things. Everyone is dealing with something. Right. But I'm going to go into work every single day and give it my absolute best. right? And absolute best can be, hey, look, I may not meet my, for example, my goal for the week personally, but if I got very close, I'm going to say, hey, look, I got very close. And the best part was that my CEO and my president were understanding and they know firsthand what I'm going through, you know? And so you just have that open line of communication. And then we had Mahtab, you know, Mahtab was from the beginning there to support me. I think with all three of them, it helped me be a better recruiter because I learned how to do my job. I learned how to categorize my life, right? And not in a bad way. I learned to just focus on what I need to focus on at that moment, right? So if I'm going into the office and I know I'm going to work, you know, from 8:30 to 5:30 that day, I'm going to give it my absolute best, focus on what I need to focus on at work because I know I'm going to need to take care of my family at the end of the day. And so,
and I remember
the positivity.
I know he's a very positive, and I'm like, oh gosh, I feel for your wife. Like, how, who gets to be that positive?
It's hard.
It's almost like my parents, my dad. I think you guys knew he has a prosthetic hip. He's almost 90. And if you ask him, Baba, how's, like yesterday, I'm like, it doesn't get any better. If it gets any better than this, I'll be bursting at the seams. And then my mom is like Miss Anxiety. So
that's my wife and I for sure.
Yes.
That's my wife and I for sure.
But I remember when you talk about Scott and Jeremy, you know, part of when Encore hires a new recruiter, I'm part of the onboarding process, right? So we do a comprehensive intake on their skill sets, what motivates them, what's going to kind of help them perform at their best. And then this guy at 3 weeks in gets like slapped with like life.
With life.
And my hours are, you know, very limited. So then I'm like, okay, Scott, there's this situation. And he's like, I know it's unlimited hours for mom until he's on the other side.
I couldn't believe
it. And so Jeremy also, they both are very growth mindset leaders. So they value the mental health of the employees. And of course, having leadership like that and having someone who has purpose, who has a sense of community, who is family centered, God is faith, and that combination, I'm not surprised in the worst months of your life you came out a champion.
Oh,
I'm
thank
not
you.
Surprised.
Thank you.
That's on you. It's not your performance coach or your CEO. You showed up scared. You showed up not knowing. You showed up devastated or thinking you lost her forever. Like, I watched all of that.
You did. You know, it's funny. Mahtab saw me that week where, you know, my daughter was born. Then the next week, my grandma passed away.
Yeah, that was and then his mom had to fly overseas.
Yeah. So it was just too, you know, and I was extremely close with my grandma. Mind you, my grandma was overseas. You know, we're originally Sudanese and my wife is Lebanese. But my grandma, she goes from one daughter to one son and she stayed with everybody. At that point, she was, in Saudi Arabia and she, was just, you know, she went to bed and she, that next morning, she didn't get up. And so, you know, the week prior, my daughter, you know, my wife got in, you know, into the hospital and they said, hey, she's not getting out until we have a baby. So I just had so many things going on. Mm-hmm. And Mahtab and Jeremy and Scott were all there. And, you know, and then last month I was able to get, employee of the month with everything going on. Thank you. Yeah.
If you can pull that off, it's not easy.
Well, it's hard. Yeah. In the recruiting world, it's tough. But one thing that, that makes Encore so different is that we, you know, we look at our client, you know, we're in the people business.
Yeah.
All right. So we look at our clients and say, hey, look, what is it that you need? Right. If you're trying to fill, if you need an engineer, you know, mechanical engineer, if you need, you know, this role or that role, this role, you know, what is it that you truly need? And we'll find you the best person and we do it better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Right. It's, you know, and because we understand people, we understand cultures, we understand what you need to get that role. And sometimes people come in thinking, hey, well, we need this, but in reality, you may need this. So, You know, it's just, I've learned so much at my time at Encore. And with the great support that I have, it only helps me become better and better at my job as a recruiter. So I appreciate it.
Well, bravo to you.
Thank you.
So what are the three tips you have for young fathers and what it means to stay strong for your family?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, the three tips that I have for young fathers, the first one is communication, right? Communication. If for example, my wife and I, we've tried to sit on the dining room table and have a serious conversation about anything and everything, but it didn't work for us. You know, we've tried to sit down on the couch. We tried to talk about it in bed. It just didn't work for us. For us, we've realized that we have the best communication or form of communication when we're walking, you know, because
you agree.
Yeah. You know, so we would go, you know, we live in Ventana Lakes and, we have like a 3 mile circle. So we just walk the entire 3 miles and we have the best communication that we've ever had. Right. And we talk about anything and everything that comes to mind. So, you know, the first tip is communication, whether it's at home, whether you're, you know, it's on a walk, if it's in the car. And so that's the first one. The second one, I would say, it's okay to be afraid.
Yeah.
Because fear is what helps you become stronger. And you know, it's okay to cry. It doesn't take anything from your manliness. It doesn't take anything away from you. You're a human being. Whether you're a man or a female, a male or female, you're a human being.
You hear that, men? It is okay to cry.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah.
Show them.
You know, I can't, the first time I ever saw my dad cry, it was, you know, I think that at that point in time, I just realized he was a human being, you know, because you look at your parents as, I don't know, superheroes, I guess, you know, you think that they're just indestructible. You think that they're just, you know, that, you know, they can do anything, but in reality, they're human beings. And me as a parent, I'm learning that you take every day as it comes and you learn from your mistakes. You know, there are things that I did with Celine that I wouldn't do with Mila, you know, when she gets older, you know, that now I'm just a lot more, you know, we were extremely cautious with Celine. We didn't want to do this or that. We had air filters everywhere, you know, and now.
Yeah. Now when the pacifier falls, you just put in your mouth.
Yeah. You know, and then my last tip is just have faith. You know, I'm Muslim and it's okay, whatever you believe in, but have faith and trust the process. There's nothing in life that comes easy. Nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, everything good in life happens with work. Yes, some people get lucky. Yes, some people, you know, how many people win the lottery every day, right? But what do they do with that? You know, some people lose it all. You know, it's just, you know, just be patient and have faith and trust the process. Anything good or bad is meant to teach you a lesson, right? When you're in the good, you forget yes. God, you forget.
Because everything's peachy.
Everything's great. Yeah. You know, you're happy. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, when bad things happen, oh, now I need God, I need you, right? Mm-hmm. And then at that point, where was he then when there was good times? So you just realize, you know, you have to understand that life is about goods and bads and everything's there to help you. Yeah. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
They're good tips for moms too.
Yeah.
I'm like taking mental notes here. Okay. So how would you like your daughters to see you in 10 years?
In 10 years, I just want them to know that I was always there for them. To show that, you know, showing them what true love is. I think it's especially important for daughters. You know, I think as a father, my job is to show my girls. Even if you have a son, you know, you want to show them what love is and how to treat a woman, right? But for my daughters, I want them to really know, hey, this is what true, genuine love is.
Yeah.
And this is what a father is there to support his family, his wife, his children. And it's okay to have bad days too. I'm not a perfect person. You know, I want them to see me as imperfect.
Yeah.
Because I want them to also see that I can get out of any obstacle that's in my way. As much as I, you know, as much as I would love to say, hey, look, I'm the best father ever. I'm not, I'm learning to be the best father, right? But I'm also a human being, and it's okay to make mistakes. Absolutely. And I want them to see that.
As long as you're growing and learning from those mistakes.
Yes. Yeah. As long as you're learning and growing and being the best version of who you are, that's what I want them to see.
So I want you to give our listeners, papas especially, some advice. besides all the ones that you just gave.
You know, the best advice I can always say, you know, I know we touched on faith and we touched on communication. Really, you know, what it all kind of boils down to is be true to yourself. You know, you are, again, a human being. You're not going to have all the answers to everything. Go ask for help. It's okay. If you need to go see a therapist, it's okay to go see a therapist. No matter what religion you are, no matter what culture you come from, it's okay. And you know what? You don't have to tell anybody you're seeing a therapist. If you truly don't want to tell anybody, you don't have to. Keep that between yourself and the therapist. But at the same time, if you want your family, you want your community, you want your friends around you, it's not bad. It's not a bad thing. You know, embrace what you have. Because life is short, and life, you know, who knows how long we're going to be. Again, like, look at my dad. He's 81. Since I was in middle school, everyone's saying, hey, your dad's older, you know? And so I had to understand from a kid being in middle school, like, hey, man, my dad might not be around forever. So, and look, he's doing well, you know? So, you know, alhamdulillah, but, you know, just ask for help. It's okay to ask for help, no matter how old you are. No matter if you're a male or female, it's okay. Yeah. And it's okay to be vulnerable because you are human.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, one last thing. I want to know, how is baby Mila?
So Mila, 2 weeks ago, she was having a really difficult time breathing. I came home from work. You know, initially she had come out of the hospital, out of the NICU, and she was on home oxygen. Meaning we had a generator at home that kind of just pumped in, that supplied her with oxygen. And so the last couple of weeks, she was not doing very well. She was just struggling to breathe. And mind you, she was born at 24 weeks and she started using her lungs at such an early age, right? And these kids, you know, they have issues with lung development at this point in life or early in life. And so with Mila, she was struggling to breathe. We had to call the paramedics. And they ended up taking us to Texas Children's. And then Texas Children's took us to the downtown location where they have the specialists and the experts. So it turns out like she's really, she was having issues, exhaling, that carbon dioxide. And then somehow she has pneumonia. So she's been sedated. And she's, been there for the last 2 weeks. And you know what? It's okay. You know, it's okay. I know it's tough and it's scary seeing her like that. You know, I just, the other week, I cried, you know, but it's okay. It's what she needs. Yeah. And once she gets over, this sickness, then we're going to work on her breathing again. We'll get her off the ventilator. You know, get her back down to regular oxygen or whatever she needs. You know, if she needs a little bit more than regular oxygen, that's okay. Mm-hmm. So we're just taking it step by step. Day by day, and hopefully, you know, she can get out of there soon.
Yeah,
inshallah. Inshallah.
All the good energy.
Yes. Thank you.
But so much changes in the first 2 years of life.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I had a preemie. This was my first baby, you know. But now when I see Ava, and she's doing amazing. Yeah. Well, we live in Houston, so she has allergies. But some of these things, because the speed of cellular growth and repair is so miraculous during those first 2 years.
The body's amazing, what it does, and that's why I'm not worried. I, you know, at the end of the day, I in my heart, I feel that something is good is destined for her, and whatever that may be, and I'm okay with the outcome.
This is her story.
This is her story, and we're going to let her take it day by day.
Baby Mila, we are praying for you, and you will get better very quickly, and we're praying for your parents too. And, you know, just keep us posted.
We'd
love to know how Mila is doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. This was definitely an eye-opening experience for me. I mean, I take my kids for granted sometimes because I'm just like, you know, they're fine, they're healthy, they're good. But when you hear stories like that, it's just like you just want to hold your babies even more closer to your heart. And just, okay, I'm going to start crying. But thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you.
We have loved hearing your story, and we pray that everything works out well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Mithal.
Thank you.
As always. Thank you for joining us here on Chai Time. We will see you next week, same time, same place. Bye.